Welcome to the Walder Sportscast with your host, Chris Walder.
What's up, everybody? I'm back. The birthday hangover is beaten, and here we are once again for episode 46, the Aaron Baines, shout out Baines fan club, of the Walder Sportscast, the number one sports interview podcast on the web today, says my mom and fiance. And I'll tell you this, my fiance at least follows me on both Twitter and Instagram at Walder Sports, and I encourage you to do the same. And after you're done listening to today's show, go give the podcast a rating and review because it helps me out a great deal. Now, there's a pretty monumental UFC fight going down this Saturday night. It's Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 3. And of course, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy sponsor of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, who are giving you a shot at huge cash prizes for this weekend's fight. Fantasy MMA is truly easy. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and secure points for advances, takedowns, and much more. And of course, you can also earn money with basketball and hockey as well. It's safe, secure, and reliable, so get in on the action now. Download the DraftKings app and use promo code TBPN for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code TBPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. On to today's show, I'm bringing Amit Mann back onto the program. Amit, of course, is the host of the amazing Five Observations NBA podcast. He also holds a litany of roles over at Yahoo Sports Canada as well. You may remember Amit from our podcast last year where we ranked every head coach the Toronto Raptors have ever had, but there are no lists today. We've got a ton of news, a ton of ball to discuss, and I'm glad he's returning to chat it up with me once again. Apologies for the delay as well. Like I mentioned at the end of my last podcast, I just celebrated my 33rd birthday. I got my second COVID-19 vaccination as well, spent some time with the family. I also landed a new job, so a lot was happening at once, but I just wanted to unwind a bit, you know, recharge the batteries before life hits another gear. But I'm back. This podcast is still a priority for me, and if you haven't already, I do recommend checking out my last interview with the cool as hell Keyshawn Mistry, who currently works for Uninterrupted Canada and Major League Baseball in both photography and social media design. A really fun interview where we dived deep into the vault to talk about his former Mystery Hockey YouTube channel and his time at Bar Down, where I first discovered his work on those incredible NHL hockey quizzes, which are incredibly popular. So follow Keyshawn at _KeyshawnMystery and go listen to that episode because it's really amazing. With all of that being said, though, Amit Mann returns to the Walder Sportscast after this quick break. So keep it locked.
Perfect.
Amit Mann, the host of the incredible Five Observations NBA podcast, as well as the man of 1,000 jobs over at Yahoo Sports Canada. Amit, thanks for joining me again, buddy.
Hey, man, no problem. I guess this is a sequel of our previous chat, and I hope it's more like, you know, how Bad Boys 2 went, because that was a lot better than Bad Boys 1. But then, you know, the sequel doesn't always go as according to plan. You think it goes really well, then all of a sudden you're like, it didn't really hit. So I'm banking on this being more Bad Boys 2.
Am I a bad person? I've never seen either of the Bad Boys films.
That does make you a bad person, actually.
All right. So, well, if it wasn't that.
that does, yes. I'm a Will Smith fan. So Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2, that was some of his finest work. He's done a lot of different things, but I look at that as kind of like his kind of this more fun side in some ways. And like when he's doing his like crime action, he's done like a lot of different movies and to varying degrees of success. But I've always found that to be one of those movies that is just like a really fun watch. He does a lot of humor too in other movies, but I don't know, maybe it's just the nostalgic feeling of it that I just have always really liked the Bad Boys series, and now there's Bad Boys 3. I watched that. It wasn't bad. They're a lot older and it's kind of obvious, which is kind of sad. So Bad Boys 1 and Bad Boys 2 were really good.
Well, it's funny you bring up Will Smith because he'll be coming up later in the podcast. Just a spoiler alert there. But you did bring up the fact that this is the second time that we're doing a podcast together. It was back in late August of last year, I believe, when you and I ranked every head coach in Toronto Raptors history. It was a lot of fun. I was extremely appreciative of you coming on my podcast, like I am once again. And obviously, since that time, you ventured into podcasting yourself with, of course, the Five Observations NBA podcast. So how difficult was it for you to come up with a concept that would not only motivate you, but also attract an audience in a crowded basketball landscape? Like, what was that initial brainstorming session like for you?
Yeah, and I appreciate the positive feedback on it. It's been a really fun journey. People probably don't know, but I did some like podcasts on my own for a little while just to kind of get my reps in. And, you know, from the get-go, it was always about trying to learn and get better and kind of expand my skill set. And that was the most important thing to me, is just keep on improving, because I know if I was really investing into growing it, you know, I get really into analytics, and then I just have too many other things going on with my personal life, and then there's a full-time job and everything. I didn't want to get into the whole, I want to make this a growing success. I want to see this get so-and-so amount of downloads per episode. It was never about that. It was just about learning and getting better and meeting some people. And so the concept was just something that I thought could kind of work. You know, it's like a condensed version. You get maybe five different topics, obviously Five Observations NBA podcast, five different topics. There's always a Raptors topic, then the four other ones. Sometimes it's just me talking about it. Other times I'm just branching out and I'm trying to meet more people and diversity and, you know, female voices, male voices, black voices. That was all important to me. So I think I've done a decent job of getting kind of a lot of different voices in there and representing what the podcast was supposed to be from the get-go. I do admit that getting to five thoughts has been difficult at times, because I mean, there's always like things to talk about, but then you got to find the guests, and then you're trying to, you know, make sure that you're getting a diverse group of people, and then you got to do research. It's just a lot between everything. So if, you know, the future versions of the pod, probably it may not be five, it might be more like three or something like that. And that way, maybe I can do two episodes a week instead of one, because five observations just became like a lot. But in the end, it was a really good experience. I really enjoyed it. We started doing some reaction podcasts to finals games and playoff games and all that stuff. So we'll be doing some of those going forward with the Bucks and Suns, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on in this podcast. But overall, it's been a really fun experience, just trying different things, trying different formats and meeting new people. And I've really enjoyed it. I loved it, actually.
Well, something I've noticed in doing my own show is how much my confidence has risen from episode one to now. Like, I feel like I'm more confident in my interview skills, maintaining a conversation, things of that nature. And I know you're 25 episodes or so deep into your own podcast, and you do them far more frequently than I do my own. But how has the Amit Man from episode one improved or grown to where he is now? Or have you noticed any differences at all?
No, for sure. And I think as a broadcaster, you aspire to get to a point where everything just kind of slows down, you know? And even as an athlete, right? Like, how many times have you heard rookies or sophomores saying that things are a little bit slower than they used to be back in my early parts of my careers? And that's when you kind of know that you're recognizing things, you're seeing things better, and you're just a lot more calm. And I kind of do feel that way too, even, you know, doing this with you now versus when I did it, you know, last year. Like, I feel miles different. And that was the point, right? Is that this is how you grow. It's about reps, and anything you want to do in life, you need to get reps at it. And then eventually things become a little bit more natural, a little bit more fluid, a little bit more easy. And definitely, to answer it in a nutshell, definitely there's a very big difference between episodes 1 and 25 in terms of my comfort.
Well, I love the show, my man. Five Observations NBA podcast.
Appreciate
I encourage
you.
All of my listeners to go out there and subscribe. Leave a rating and review, of course. But Amit, like you said, we're here to chat some basketball, our own NBA observations, if you will. You know, we're recording this Sunday afternoon, and we now know that the Milwaukee Bucks and Phoenix Suns are going to be squaring off in the 2021 NBA Finals, the Stephen A. Smith special, since I doubt he wants to visit either city. But, you know, a definite surprise. Obviously, injuries have impacted this year's playoffs. Perhaps these aren't the two teams that many expected to get this far, but here we are. So, first off, Amit, as a fan of the game, you hear Milwaukee, you hear Phoenix are competing in the finals. Where does your mind immediately go? Where's your enthusiasm level at currently?
To be honest, it goes to when I visited Milwaukee for the games in 2019, because myself, Will Liu, and Keyshawn Mistry. We were part of the people that were traveling throughout that finals run for the Raptors, right? We went to Orlando, we went to Philly, we went to Milwaukee, Oakland. We didn't miss a single game when it comes to being on the road. So we got well acquainted with Milwaukee, right? We went there a couple times. And there was this this coffee shop that we went to. It's called Rochambeau. And I got the best latte that I've ever had in my life from there. And the guy who was serving it to us was so friendly. He was so cool. And now, I mean, obviously, like, I, at that point, like, I wasn't really experimenting too much with coffee. I was pretty much, you know, I'm a Tim Hortons double-double guy, right? I'm a Peterborough fella, so double-double Tim's. It's kind of in my blood to be that way. And so when I had this latte, I was like, oh, my God, this is incredible. And then I got back to Toronto. I'm like, oh, I'll get a latte here. And then I realized that, you know, my fella in Milwaukee, he was just adding a lot of sugar to it. And it turns out that's kind of my jam. But so it really wasn't much of a latte. But other than that, Milwaukee was a fine city. It kind of reminded me of Peterborough, actually, a little bit. It's just a bigger Peterborough. They have a nice little waterfront. So that was nice. But on to the basketball side of things, I think any NBA fan should be excited that we're seeing two teams that have not been in the NBA Finals for a very long time here. Like the Suns, they were last there in 1993. They haven't won a title yet. The Bucks' last title. I think their only title, I believe, maybe. Can't confirm that or deny it, but it was 1971, right? That was the last time the Bucks won a title. So we're seeing two franchises that have been really starving for something like this. And you think of, you know, as Raptor fans, we know how difficult it is to get to the NBA Finals and the amount of trial and error that is involved in building a roster that is capable of doing this. And there will be people who are going to say that, you know, asterisk championship, yada, 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 just like they were saying last year. And it's fair to a degree, right? The Bucks, Suns, they've both benefited in different ways from teams not being healthy and missing star players and players going out within the series. But it is what it is, man. When it comes down to it, like the Bucks, you know, they were a top tier team in the East, and the Suns, they were a top tier team in the West. So, and now they're, and it seems like they're relatively healthy. I'm sure we're going to talk about Giannis eventually. He seems to be the person that we're not too sure about his status. Chris Haynes had said that if there was a game 7 for the Hawks series, that he probably would have played. That's just a report, so who the hell knows? But it seems like he's, you know, it wasn't as bad as we probably thought from the get-go when he went down. And that's encouraging that we might be able to see two healthy teams, two top teams in both of their conferences, square off for an NBA title. And each franchise is absolutely deserving, and they're going to be so damn happy that they have this.
Do you think this is a good thing ultimately for the NBA, though? Because at the end of the day, these are two fresh franchises competing for a title. You know, it's not the Lakers, the Celtics, the Warriors, teams with those storied or recent histories. Like, the world can now see a Devin Booker, a DeAndre Ayton, Chris Middleton on a grander stage. Like, should basketball fans in general be excited for this, or should there be a concern that in the grand scheme of things, this could be a forgotten NBA Finals?
I mean, I guess time will tell with that one. We'll have to see how it goes. I do believe that ratings have been pretty good so far in these playoffs, despite all the injuries and, you know, the quote-unquote fake series wins, especially for the Bucks. That's been talked about nonstop, because they definitely, I don't think they would be here unless they had some of the injuries that transpired, especially in that Nets series. But also, right, the Nets, you know, as we thought, they're a freakish team. So if they were healthy, no one was going to beat them. They may as well have given them the title heading into the playoffs, because no one was going to beat that team if they were healthy. And we'll see how things go next year. Right. But being healthy is also part of winning a championship, right? There is no championship, at least in recent memory, that hasn't, where injuries haven't factored in to some degree, right? It's just the reality of sports. And sometimes we don't know the injuries that take place within a series. You know, players continue to play and then they're not really healthy. And then we find out, you know, 2 months later that, hey, you know, he had a broken shoulder or something like that, right? These are things that definitely happen, right? Yeah. So I think you just sort of have to roll with the punches in some ways, and you just have to, you know, look at these two teams for what they are. And also, if you can't appreciate a player like Chris Paul, who's been in the NBA for eons, right? And he's worked so hard to get to this moment. He's had so much unfortunate luck when it comes to injuries. If you can appreciate a person like him possibly getting an NBA championship, then I'm not really sure if you're an NBA fan, to be honest with you, Chris. Like, how can you hate on a dude like Chris Paul? His nickname is the Point God, How could you say that a point guard is not worthy of a moment like this in his NBA career? And then with Giannis, I mean, he's taken a lot of you know what over his career, and especially the Milwaukee Bucks. But I've seen tremendous growth from their top tier players throughout these playoffs. We've seen Chris Middleton like really become the dude that we thought he was supposed to be. You know, the shots that he's making in that Nets series and the way he was performing on the road against the Atlanta Hawks, it was really impressive, man. Like, I'm one of the first people to say that the Bucks are frauds, right? Oh, and yeah. I still think to some degree they are, because I don't trust Mike Budenholzer. He may be the reason why they end up losing in the NBA Finals. But when it comes to the players, like, I want to see Brook Lopez. I want to see him do well. I want to see these guys, you know, win championships, because it's really cool to see players get that one, you know? That one. In the NBA, man, we've seen so many teams. Like, it's been LeBron. It's been OKC. It's been the Golden State Warriors year after year. Like, if you can't kind of get up for a bit of parity, then I don't know. Like, what are you kind of looking for from sport? We want those moments, those unforgettable moments in time where it's like you had to be there, right? And how many of those moments do we get from, you know, those Cavaliers and Warriors series, right? Because they were just stomping them. Right? In most right. cases, they were just stopping them. That was a team that wasn't going to be beaten. It didn't matter if it was the Cavs or Bucks or 76ers or yada yada. Like, that was just a team that was not going to be beaten. And I think you got to appreciate when you have two teams that are pretty even for the most part going toe-to-toe, and you can guess. Maybe you think the Bucks are going to win. Maybe you think the Suns are going to win, but we don't really know. We don't know going into this finals who's going to win this, and that's kind of exciting.
Well, you touched on Chris Paul there, and I'd like to think that the Phoenix Suns are kind of, in a way, the sentimental favorites. I mean, this is a team that ranked second last or dead last in the NBA every season from 2017 through 2019, and they've been a fun story this postseason. I mean, knocking out LeBron and the Lakers in the first round, they went on to sweep the NBA Most Valuable Player in the second, although the Nuggets were hurt, of course, and then Chris Paul eliminated his former team on their home floor in the conference finals to get to this point. So, Amit, how important is this series for Chris Paul's legacy? Because I feel like even without a ring, a lot of people have Paul as maybe like the third greatest point guard of all time, behind a Magic Johnson, a Stephen Curry. Like, how much does a ring boost Paul's stock in the all-time pecking order? Or is his status pretty much cemented at this point?
It is, but you could argue that him losing this would hurt his legacy. You know what I mean? Because the sentiment around him was that he just wasn't able to get there, right? Because of injuries, because, you know, his team wasn't good enough. But he, if you look at his playoff numbers, they've been outstanding. They've been incredible for the most part over his entire NBA career. So now that he's here, you start thinking that, well, if they don't win and he doesn't, you know, play too well sometimes, then how is the conversation going to change around Chris Paul? I think he's an incredible point guard. I think he absolutely is deserving of being one of the best ever, or having that title, because he is that good and he's been that dominant, and especially doing this at his age now. Like, we praise Kyle Lowry for doing this at his age, and well, you got to extend that to Chris Paul too, because they're both doing it with their minds and their basketball IQ and their toughness and their just ability to figure out how to win games. So it's really cool from that standpoint, and that's why, I mean, I don't want to do a spoiler alert here, but that's why I do think the Suns are going to win this. But if they don't win and he struggles, I think people are going to frown upon that when it comes to thinking about what his legacy is going to be, because there's always going to be that time where he lost in the NBA Finals and he got there. Great players have lost in the NBA Finals. It does happen. And, you know, Charles Barkley, Dominic Wilkins, go down the list. There are players who are Hall of Famers and that they didn't win when it got to this stage. And that's, that's okay. It's just something that it fuels a bit of the fire around those, especially in mainstream media, who feel like unless you win a couple of titles, then you're just not really up to par. I don't agree with it, but that's just something to think about, I guess.
I know ratings are a subjective thing, but currently right now, heading into the finals, not knowing how that series is going to play out, where do you consider Chris Paul in the all-time point guards ratings list?
Good question. I don't have a list in front of me. I mean, he's got to be top five, right? I think right. he has to be up there just based on his stats alone, and the longevity of how long he's been doing this and the consistency. There was some conversation around after his exit from Houston that, you know, what did he have left, right? And I think people who felt that maybe he didn't have too much left were probably oversimplifying a little bit. Like, he just didn't forget how to play basketball. You know, as long as he's healthy, like, this is still Chris Paul. And then he went to OKC, and what he did there was incredible. You know, like, he showed that team how to win games. He was a mentor. He was obviously a great player. And then he comes to the Suns now, and I don't think he's given us any reason to doubt his abilities. I mean, just look at what he did in game 6. It was so cool to see that he did that in LA. Like, and he let everybody know, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted everyone to know that, yes, I have done this. Thank you for coming. Have a safe drive. Enjoy yourselves. He was going to make sure he got any tech, anything like that. I'm sure he did say something to Pat Beverly. I'm sure he did. That's why Pat Beverly, or gave him a look or something like that. I'm not saying what Pat Beverly did was right, but undoubtedly, when it became secure that they were going to win that game, after that performance that he had at the tail end of that third quarter, in the fourth quarter, he took it over, right? How many players can say that they were able to take over a game in game 6 of a conference final? He was unreal. He was beating them in any which way. He may as well start calling a shot like Larry Bird, right? Because that's how good he was at that time. It was unreal to watch it. I think I recorded he had like 14 points in 3 minutes between the end of the third quarter and the top part of the fourth. 14 points in 3 minutes. And he was doing it in a whole variety of ways. It was really, really cool to watch. And when you talk about legacy, those are the kind of games that make you remember Chris Paul.
Yes.
Because you got to have those staple games, right? And that game for him is going to be one of those. And if it does, you know, if it's like the one, you know, game one of eventually them leading the getting to the NBA Finals now and then having a few games possibly in the NBA Finals against Milwaukee Bucks, which I think he is in a really good position to do because of some more strategic things. I think he's going to, you know, probably be looked at as maybe even a little higher than top five in some people's eyes.
You bring up Patrick Beverley shoving Chris Paul in the back. Are you cool with the one game suspension, or do you think it should have been harsher?
It's fine. I mean, I don't really care about that. I don't like that he apologized to Chris on Twitter. Like, what are you doing? If you want to apologize to a person, you have PR people. You could text them and, like, don't do it for us. Like, I don't care. We know who you are already, right? You don't need to show us that you have gone out of your way to apologize to Chris Paul, because it's not going to change how we view you. You're the perception that an average NBA fan has of you, you know?
Right.
So don't do it for us. Actually, like, do like a legit apology. Apologize from one competitor to another, from one NBA player to another. Do it the right way. Don't just send a tweet.
If anyone ever wants to apologize to me for anything, be sure to do it on Twitter, because I'm more likely to see it there than anywhere else. I don't check my text messages a lot. I'm not on Instagram. So give me that tweet apology. I'm totally cool with it. But I feel like we should probably ask some of these same questions about Chris Paul, the same questions about Giannis Antetokounmpo as well, because you and I both know, being Raptors guys, there was some ill will sent his way from the fan base because he elected to stay put on a new long-term deal with the Bucks, and obviously now it looks like he absolutely made the right move. He's making money. He's in the NBA Finals for the first time in his career, and his teammates stepped up in a big way against the Atlanta Hawks, closed out that series without him. We still don't have a concrete return date, and he may miss a good chunk of the finals for all we know, and he's only 26 years old, Amit. Still plenty of quality years ahead of him, unlike Chris Paul, whose career is obviously winding down. I say that now, but he plays until he's 50. We'll see. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how high are you rating this finals for Giannis, and how important is it for his career to kind of win a ring right now? Is it a big deal at all?
Question, though. So you don't receive texts? Like, you don't look at text messages?
I get text messages, but there's some times where I'll get the notification. It'll say one, and I'll just be like, I'm not going to really check it right now. I'm on Twitter way more.
Really?
So hopefully no one has any emergencies coming my way. Give me a phone call. I'll be more inclined to pick that up. Text messages, not my thing.
Or a DM, I guess, or a Twitter DM. You're better off trying to get you through a Twitter DM than a text message.
Exactly. More of a Twitter DM guy. Maybe even WhatsApp. You know, that's how my brother contacted me about his baby girl. So I'm more inclined to check that out. Text messages? Gotcha. Yeah, not for me. Okay. There's somebody out there right now being like, that's exactly why Walder hasn't responded to me in several months.
that poor person being left on red for eons now. Like, we're all at home in this pandemic. Well, things are changing a little bit. And he's like, you got nothing to do, so why aren't you checking my text messages,
Chris? Yeah, Walter? That's how anyway. I roll, buddy.
It is what it is. Okay, as you were asking about Giannis, yeah, look, this is, I mean, of course, like, you're when you're in the NBA Finals, and when he wants to be one of the greatest players of all time, like, that's his goal, and he has every right to believe that because of how dominant he can be, and he's been terrific in these playoffs when he's been able to play. Every loss in the NBA Finals matters, right? Because you were that close, and especially in a season like this, I mean, we can, you know, make the debates about, you know, what team should be here, what team should not be here. Health, as I said, is always a factor, but you are here now, right? And you don't know when you're going to get back here because nothing is guaranteed in this life.
Yes.
And so, yeah, this is pretty important. This is going to be a really big, big moment for him. I hope that he's healthy. And I say that because, as like you alluded to, we've all kind of been making fun of the Bucks at different points throughout this season, the losses, you know, the drop coverages, Bud being bad, and he still is. These are all factors and reasons to make fun of the Bucks, but they're here now, and you have to make the most of this opportunity. And it's going to be not just a challenge for him, because, I mean, there's some matchup issues potentially for the Phoenix Suns, as with any team, when you're trying to take on Giannis, you don't stop Giannis, you try and contain him. As Stan Van Gundy said once, you know, you got to try and build an effing wall when it comes to guarding some of these players in the NBA, because they're that dominant one-on-one. So I don't see any reason why he's not going to be able to put up, you know, huge numbers. It's going to be more about, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks as a collective unit, their coaching staff, how they're able to manipulate the game and make adjustments on the fly. That's going to be the decision maker on whether they're going to be able to win an NBA title this year.
This program to bring you a special report.
Just a friendly reminder that today's episode is also brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped.com. So join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to Manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code WALDER. Inside this package, you're going to find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all of those goodies. I've pushed a Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer before, the goat of trimmers, if you will, and for someone as reckless as me with shavers, this trimmer is a bright spot in my man care routine. Those days of nicks and band-aids are a thing of the past with their advanced skin-safe technology. Call it Walderproof if you like. I've never used a nose hair trimmer either, so goodbye tweezers, because the Weed Whacker makes the great with its 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. And yes, ball deodorant is an actual thing, so give your basketballs a boost with a Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver toner. And as an added bonus, of course, Manscaped threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WALDER, that's W-A-L-D as in dog, E-R, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code WALDER at manscaped.com. Escape the shrubs and weeds this summer and shine with Manscaped. Now, back to my interview with Amit Mann.
Well, usually I save the big predictions for the end of the podcast, but, you know, here we go, Amit. Phoenix and Milwaukee series gets underway on Tuesday night. Who is your 2021 NBA champion? Which I think you spoiled earlier in the podcast, but how many games does it go, and who is ultimately the finals' most valuable player?
Okay, so I'm gonna say the Suns in six.
Okay.
And I think if the Suns do win, the MVP is going to be Chris Paul. This is simply coming down to, and I'm saying six just to be a little bit safer, because I could see it potentially even being less than that, because we still don't know the status of Giannis, right? And even if he does play in game one, game two, whatever, I don't know if he's actually going to be healthy. You know, hyperextended knee, there was no structural damage to his knee. That's good. And so that will probably put him in a position to at least contribute in some capacity, but they need him to be 100%. To be able to win this series or near 100%. And if he's not, they're going to have a lot of issues. It's been cool to see what Chris Middleton's done in these past few games without Giannis. It's important stepping stones for him, and seeing the way other players stepped up too, it's all good. But there is a a foundational structural flaw when it comes to Milwaukee Bucks, and it is still Mike Budenholzer. And look no further than, you know, Brook Lopez. He had that tremendous game five. It was amazing. It's like, oh my God, this is the Brook Lopez from so and so many years ago with the Nets. And I'm thinking, like, this was always here. You know, why are you, why is your 7-footer hanging out at the 3-point line? It just, it never really made sense to me. You know, you could, there are ways you can, like, you know, find ways to get Brook Lopez more touches in the paint, and they just don't do it. And it's always really bothered me because he is a person that can, like, shift series with his size and his physicality and the way he's able to rebound and the way he's able to finish around the rim. Like, there aren't too many players that can do it the way he can. And seeing him, you know, catch these alley-oops and, you know, make these turnaround jumpers and things like that, I'm like, why aren't you guys doing this? Like, you, or even, like, in that series against the Hawks, like, you had so much size. You were towering over that team. And it took Giannis getting injured to start using it. And, like, the barrage of three-point shots, like, they're so reliant on it when all they had to do was just pound the paint. And they did not do it, or they thought they were. They were trying to, but they weren't doing it the right way. And it's like stuff like this, like, why aren't you seeing this? And I feel like a team like the Bucks with a coach like Bud, there's just going to be those issues that are going to come up. And then, you know, maybe game four is like, oh, wait, he's going to have a eureka moment at like 4 o'clock in the morning. He's going to wake up in a cold sweat. He's going to write something down and he's going to be like, oh, that's what we should have done in game one. Cool, Bud. It's game four and you're already down 3-1. Like, it's stuff like this, I think it's bound to happen. It's going to happen. I'm almost like certain it's going to happen to the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's going to cost them an NBA title because, you know, talent to talent, they have more talent than the Phoenix Suns. But the Phoenix Suns are more consistent. By the way, like these two teams, these are the two best defensive teams so far in these playoffs. And they're also, I believe, the two best transition defense teams. So the defensive side of things, it's very valuable on both sides. But you have a coach like Monty Williams, you have a floor general like Chris Paul, the drop coverage that the Milwaukee Bucks are very, very, very reliant on. They love that drop coverage. I don't know if it's going to work against players like Devin Booker and Chris Paul, who are just like straight up mid-range masters. You know, Devin, he didn't play too well against the Clippers all the time. He had the broken nose. It's okay for us to say that the Clippers are a good defensive team. Pat Beverly, we mentioned him earlier. He's like, he's kind of has that structure that's going to be a little bit tough for Devin Booker. You know, he's side to side. He's laterally. He's really, really quick. He's got enough size to distract. And so, yeah, Devin Booker struggled a little bit, broken nose, all that stuff. But in a matchup against Chris Middleton, I have a lot of faith that Devin Booker will be able to get a shot off in the ways that he wants to. He's going to get to his spots, and I don't see Chris just being able to keep up in that way or deter him. Obviously, Chris is going to have his own advantage on the other side of the court, but I just think that the Suns are going to be able to find ways to orchestrate their offense, and it's not going to be deterred as much as some may think by the Milwaukee Bucks simply because their lack of ability to adjust on the fly and the willingness to kind of change things up in game, after games, heading into games, all that stuff. They just aren't willing to do it. And the Suns are a lot faster with that stuff. I mean, that Suns Clippers series went a little bit further than we thought. But I will bank on the Chris Paul that we saw in game six being the norm rather than the exception. Do you get what I'm saying? With between the COVIDs and between some of the injuries that he had, lingering injuries, I think we're closer to what Chris Paul was in game six than what we're going to be seeing in the other games where he kind of struggled. And, you know, that series, if they just were making the shots that they normally make, and I'm talking about Devin Booker and Chris Paul, that right. series would have been over a lot faster. And I think I will bank on those guys making those shots in this upcoming series because I think they're not going to have as many issues getting them off against this team. Because the Bucks just aren't going to be able to keep up.
Well, I was hoping to play devil's advocate here with you, but in my heart of hearts, I can't possibly pick the Milwaukee Bucks at this point. Of course, like you said, especially with Giannis's status unknown at this point for how many games he's going to play in the finals. I'm with you. I'm going to go with Phoenix. I'm saying seven games because that's what I tweeted out last night, and nobody likes a hypocrite. I'm going to go down with that ship if push comes to shove. As a sleeper pick, I'm going to go with DeAndre Ayton as my finals MVP, someone who, like a Trae Young, maybe not as much as a Trae Young, has really boosted his stock during this postseason, has had many great games. And I don't know if Milwaukee's going to really bring the physicality down low. I think DeAndre Ayton's going to have a field day, put up some double-double numbers, consistent double-double numbers. And I don't know how a Devin Booker is going to perform against a Chris Middleton. You know, he can be very hot and cold with his shot. I think Chris Paul would be the sentimental favorite if Phoenix should capture the NBA championship. But I think this is going to be a great series. I personally was rooting for Phoenix versus Atlanta because I think the Trae Young versus Chris Paul storyline would have been just so fun to watch. But at the same time, you know, we could do a lot worse with NBA Finals matchups. You know, injuries aside, I think this is going to be a great series, and anyone who is sleeping on it right now needs to look in the mirror because this is going to be some great basketball. But
yeah.
Amit,
I got another one. Actually, I got another one for you. Just one one really quick note on this is that you mentioned DeAndre Ayton, and you are absolutely right that he struggled a little bit against some of those centers that are a little bit bigger, you know, like Andre Drummond, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. Like, they didn't really want those matchups for DeAndre because he just simply isn't big enough.
Yeah.
And so you look at a person like Brook Lopez, you're like, oh, again, Eureka. That's something that we could expose, but they're not going to do it. Why? But that's the reality. And the other part of this, too, is I didn't mention the other guys on the Suns. You know, Bridges, Cam Johnson, Torrey Craig. Cam Johnson, he had food poisoning, I believe, but hopefully he's healthy for game one. But I love their wing defending. There's a lot of versatility there, a lot of three-point shooting. And I think that's going to wear the Bucks down because the Suns, like, they have good depth, you know? It's not like a decent depth. It's okay depth. You trust those guys coming in and playing 30 minutes, just like Torrey Craig did when Cam Johnson was out. He came in, played 30 minutes, and, you know, they won game six. And so, again, that's another reason why I think the Suns are in a really good position to win this series.
Well, you heard it here first, everybody. Phoenix, your 2021 NBA champions. And if we're wrong, we never said this. This is just, it never actually happened. You can delete this from the podcast. Exactly. I mean, look, Milwaukee's a quality team. I would not at all be surprised if they win the NBA championship. But Phoenix, I mean, this might be one of their only shots to get the Larry O'Brien trophy, and I'm rooting hard for them. Everybody loves an underdog, even though they did finish with one of the best records in the league. But Phoenix, even being at this point after the lousy seasons that they've had in the past, I think this is just a great story. And just fingers crossed for an exceptional series, one that goes down in the history books, because I think it really needs it. Again, the stars are not there that we're used to, but that doesn't absolutely have to be a bad thing. So I'm curious to see how this all plays out. Amit, I like trying out new things here on the Walder Sportscast, and this may be ripped off directly from Pardon the Interruption, one of my all-time favorite sports talk shows, but I'm going to throw some topics at you, and you just tell me if it's a big deal, a little deal, or no deal. Sound good?
You know who doesn't like trying new things? Bud.
But, oh, there you go. Shots fired. We're just going hard on the Budenholzer here. Yeah. But he's kind of asking for it. But unfortunately, there's no Budenholzer questions here. But I'll start you off with this. Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Canada bowing out of the Olympic qualifiers with their loss to the Czech Republic on Saturday.
It's a little deal. And I think more it's a little deal because obviously it's very disappointing, right? We wanted them to be there. We talked about, you know, having this NBA talent and the names that we saw there, the Wiggins, Dort, RJ Barrett. You think that they would be able to pull off and get that Olympic qualifying spot. The reason why it's not too surprising, and I think this was a good experience for NBA fans who just think that, you know, the players that are out there in Europe just simply aren't good enough to be NBA players, which is actually not true. I don't think it's true. I think it's more about circumstances. Like, if you look at it from like a, you know, grand scheme, right? If you're an NBA team, are you going to go after a 27-year-old to bring him over and, you know, play for your team when there is probably a 27-year-old somewhere in North America that you could, you know, if you really wanted to grab someone from like a D League or something like that, or the G League, like, those players do exist. So the idea that there isn't NBA talent outside of North America at, like, you know, 27, even 30, right? Like, those players are there. And I think this was a good realization for some people that you just have to think about, you know, the amount of talent that does exist throughout the world. And like, you know, Blake Shillab, I mean, he was incredible the other day. He's like, he's an old man. He's got a bit of an old man game to him. But I mean, you can't tell me there aren't other players like him who could do stuff like that in the NBA. Like they exist. They are there. It's kind of funny that I saw Blake. He said that he asked Sadoransky after if he called bank on a shot, and he said, no, I called game on it, which I believe is something that Paul Pierce said back in the day. So that's another reason to hate Sadoransky, because you never quote Paul Pierce. That's just not a good idea at any point ever. But the other part too is that, you know, if you look at like the simple things when it comes to basketball, it's like it's rebounding, it's driving, passing, right? It's like these kinds of things that help you win games. And that Canada team, like they had drivers, and that was good, and they had passers. But rebounding and shooting, not that great, right? They didn't have like a lot of good shooters. And, you know, they shot 24%, I believe, from three against Greece. Greece shot 46%. They were out rebounded 52-39. It's hard to overcome these things. That is like the reality. Sure, if Kent Birch or, you know, Tristan Thompson showed up and, you know, they played, this could have been a very different outcome. But you need those simple things covered, especially in FIBA basketball, because it's a lot more physical. It's a lot more bare bones. Even the offense that Canada was getting versus the offense that Greece was generating, it's just like a different feel. You know, you kind of see it on the court. So it's a little deal, because this isn't the end. All these players are still committed to Canada. You're never going to get a full turnout. That's not the way it works with basketball. There's always going to be a contract thing, injury thing there. So we're never going to, I don't think, have that day where it's like, you know, Shea and RJ and, you know, Jamal and all this stuff. It's just not in the cards. It doesn't work like that. But this was a good stepping stone, getting some of these new faces when it comes to like the Canadian senior program. Inside, and then you just kind of have to keep on going. There's a lot of the program's on the uprise. Even going back to like, you know, the under 19 teams, they're performing very well. You just have to ride the course. And I'm more excited about, you know, the women's team. I think they're going to be really, really good. And overall, because I've been doing a lot of interviews with some of the Summer Olympians, I'm kind of invested in a different way in these Olympics. So it's unfortunate, but I'm not too heartbroken over it, to be honest.
Well, speaking of commitment, big deal, little deal, or no deal, the rumors or buzz surrounding Kawhi Leonard being unhappy with the Clippers medical staff.
I mean, that's a big deal, I think. I think that's a big deal because, I mean, that's the reason why it hasn't been like necessarily confirmed, I don't think, but that's a big reason why Kawhi wanted out from the Spurs, is that he didn't feel like he trusted their medical team in the way that they were handling his injuries. And so if Kawhi is feeling a similar way about the Clippers, like, that's not good. Alex McKechnie's, I guess, don't grow on trees, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so that's not a small deal, because that Kawhi has shown that, you know, as much as he cares about, you know, playing at home and things like that, he also wants to be able to preserve his NBA career and have, you know, make many more years of basketball and, you know, keep on adding wealth to his family and the other generations and his community and stuff like that. So, I mean, this is his life, right? He, after, you know, after basketball, Kawhi needs to be able to walk and run and play with his kids. And if he doesn't feel like he's being put in a good position to do those things by the medical staff of the Clippers, that's a problem. That's a really big problem for one Steve Ballmer. That's not something he's going to be sticking his tongue out about, I would say. Well, so
Kawhi Leonard's coming back to the Raptors. You heard it here first. But big deal, potential interest from the Golden State Warriors in Pascal Siakam, especially with all of these stories coming out from The Athletic recently.
Oh, man. I just don't know. No, so this isn't a big deal. This is kind of I'm stuttering on this because it's so frustrating hearing like these kinds of things. Like, the trade doesn't even make sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why would the Raptors even entertain that? If you're going to make that trade in this draft, when it's pretty apparent that there's like a top five and then the rest of the field, yes, absolutely. You know, there's always players at like 8 and 9 and 33 who just turn out to be studs. But that top five, we're like pretty certain that you are getting a player that could, you know, affect your franchise for years to come. You know, it's going to put you in a really good position to be good for a long, long time. And, you know, why wouldn't the Raptors just want to add that to the core that they've already invested in? Like, it doesn't make sense. You know, they have Fred, they have OG, and they have Pascal. You're covering off three of the five most important positions of your starting lineup, right?
Right.
So why wouldn't you just look at a player that you can add to that and try and build something? And if you're going to, you know, trade Pascal Siakam, then guess what? You don't need Fred VanVleet in either. Trade him too, because you're clearly telling everyone that you're changing the timeline of when you want to be good again. And so the trade itself, you know, Wiseman and Wiggins, I just don't think you're really improving your team too much. And getting those other draft picks is cool, but you just you can't necessarily guarantee that those players are going to work out. Yes, the Raptors have done a tremendous job developing players, but it seems like within this particular draft, it seems like a bad idea to trade a player from that top four, unless you are getting back, you know, someone who's an absolute superstar. And because of the value where Pascal Siakam, like his value is probably in the market with the way the season went last year, not that a lot of that was his fault. I think there are some other things that the Raptors did that didn't really help him have a good or have a great NBA season last year. His shoulder, he's going to be missing a little bit of the opening of next season. His value isn't too great right now. So, you know, pairing the number four pick and also Pascal isn't going to get you the player that you probably would hope to get, like a superstar. Maybe at some point it does later on in the season. If Pascal shows that he's that guy and then whoever they get turns out to be awesome, like then you can pair those guys for someone incredible. And also, like they would probably actually want any team who's looking at the Raptors for some sort of scenario like that. They're going to say, give us OG. And the Raptors are not going to give up OG. He's the future of captain of Toronto, right? Like he's going to get a key to the city, I'm pretty sure, at some point if things go well. So I don't think it's a big deal, but it seems like it's kind of weird that the Raptors would be willing to trade Pascal Siakam when they're so loyal to the players, and also his value isn't where probably it will be, hopefully, you know, around like January or something like that, because it'll be a lot higher then.
Well, I've seen enough of Andrew Wiggins during this Canada run to last a lifetime, let me tell you.
But that shot was incredible, though.
That was a great shot. But up until that point, I mean, you know, it's Andrew Wiggins we're talking about here. You're not bringing him on for his shooting. That's pretty much Andrew Wiggins. Right, yeah. That's his career in a nutshell, basically.
But you always have moments where you're like, ooh, look at this guy. And then the rest, not always great.
It's Andrew Wiggins. For a number one overall pick, you expect more, but that was a great shot. I can't take that away from him. But you know what is a big deal, my friend? It was you coming back on my show. I thank you once again for joining me. But before we sign off, I do have some fun questions to send you on your way, as per usual on the Wilder Sportscast.
Yes.
Now, I'm a big meme guy, Amit. They rack up the likes on social media. Sometimes you get those NBA gems like sideline Jamal Murray looking disgusted in his cool hat, or Jimmy Butler keeling over, or a Raptors classic like Kyle Lowry with his eyes wide open looking down at the box score. And then there's those non-basketball legends like appointing Leo DiCaprio, for example. And I know there's that Anakin Skywalker and Padme one that's making the rounds, but sometimes memes can be done to death. They lose their luster over time. So if you could take one or two memes out to pasture for good, which would they be?
That's a good one. I might say goodbye, you know, to that one where it's the guy looking back at the girl and his girlfriend is looking at him staring at the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that one?
That's a legend.
I think it is. And I think that one is probably good to die now, because there's so much great content out there, other ones. And people are getting so creative now with them, which I certainly learn from people and I laugh hysterically at them. But that's one that comes to mind where I think I'm kind of done with it. I don't know, maybe you feel differently. It is a classic, but sometimes like classics should die. sometimes it's okay to say goodbye. You had your moment, put him in the Hall of Fame, and then just move on to the next thing. So that's the one that comes to mind at the moment.
The Anakin Skywalker one has just been done so many times in recent weeks. I know it's at its hottest right now, but I'm not a Star Wars guy in the first place. I know you used it. I'm not calling you out on it. I'm just saying that meme in general, I would take out to pasture. That needs to die a quick death, because let me tell you, my timeline, at least like maybe 6 or 7 times a day, I'm seeing it on Twitter. Can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it goes, right? With memes is that they do get done to death for, you know, a 2-3 week area once they debut. But then afterwards, people get pretty selective with when they use it, and when they use it, it's like really good. But you got to get some of those memes that Like you said, that just they're gonna last forever. I don't think that one's gonna last forever. I think eventually it's gonna go away. It's one of those, you know, 2 week memes, right? They have a 2 week. It's like a blockbuster movie that was cool but not like great. It has like a two, 3 weeks. That's like your window, and then afterwards it's time to say goodbye. So I think that meme is gonna be in that one.
So I always ask guests on the podcast about what shows they may be currently binge watching at the time, but you actually answered that when we did the podcast back in August of last year. So what I'm gonna do is drop some of the shows you mentioned during that podcast on you, and you tell me who you feel is the worst or the most annoying character from that show.
Ooh.
All right, so we're going to start off Breaking Bad.
I'm not the best at names when it comes to characters and shows, so...
But just describe them to the best of your ability.
Yeah. So it's one of Jesse's friends that he goes into business with.
Okay.
And so, unfortunately, I think the guy actually ends up dying in the show. He gets shot by a kid, which I... Never mind, I'm not going to go down that path. But I think it would probably be him, because I found him, he wasn't really, I think they wanted to make him kind of like he was such a badass, and so he didn't really talk too much, but to me, he was just kind of annoying, because he didn't talk too much, he didn't really contribute, he wasn't really scary in any way, so I think he was kind of miscasted, so I think that guy who did end up dying would be the person from Breaking Bad.
How about Seinfeld?
Oh man, how do I name a bad character from Seinfeld? It would probably be one of Jerry's girlfriends, because he had a lot of girlfriends, right?
He made the rounds.
Yeah, he did. He was very successful in that way. Who would be one of the most annoying ones? It might have been the one who was a nudist.
Okay.
I think it would be her. I didn't think that she was very funny at all. Oh, actually, no. Jesus, no. It was a person who ate their peas one at a time. It was her.
Oh, horrible.
That's
human
who it
being.
Was. Yeah. And she didn't really sell that, because that was kind of a thing that Jerry was dealing with her, is that she had a lot of annoying tics, even though to Jerry, every single person has an annoying tic that he just can't get over. It's part of his character. But even that one, I couldn't get over it, because I just found her character to be kind of annoying. So it would be her.
Well, you brought up Will Smith earlier. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I'm sorry, sir. I cannot answer this question, because that show is perfection.
That's the safe answer. I'll give you that. Okay, you're allowed to say that once, but now for the last one, I'm gonna need a strict answer here.
Okay.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
This is a hard one too, because the cast is great.
Yeah. So you're trying to think about who's the most annoying person within their character, because they did cast them really, really well.
Oh yeah.
Is it Scully?
Scully? Not a Scully fan?
No, I'm not a Scully fan. He gets to the point where it's like kind of repulsive. Even though I know he's a character, I find him, when I see him like starting to talk about stuff, I'm just like, oh, I kind of cringe, because I'm like, something gross is going to come out.
I'll you give know? You that, Scully. Yeah, he's definitely an acquired taste on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But...
Great show, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like one of the first times I watched it was my wife. She suggested, like, oh, you should check this out, because I watched one episode and it was kind of funny. And when she says it was kind of funny, because we're kind of snobs when it comes to shows. We don't really invest our time into things that we don't like very much. But I watched one episode and Andy Samberg was hilarious. The deputy, too, I forget his name already. What's his name? Captain Holt. Yeah.
Yes.
He is by far the best character on the show. But Andy Samberg is the one that sold me on it, because I knew him from Mad TV. And then afterwards, like you said, they casted everyone so well. And when they have their outbursts, when they have like their moments to shine, they really do embrace it. So that's a terrific show.
So there was that Montreal Canadiens fan who went viral recently because he attended a recent Stanley Cup game and held up a sign revealing that he missed the birth of his first child to watch Carey Price and the Canadiens, which was ultimately a bad decision in its own right, because I believe Montreal got whooped that game 6-3 by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Amit, what's the biggest life event you can think of that you would willingly miss to attend a sporting event?
Huh. I thought the question was going to be about baby related, so.
No, I threw you a curveball here, buddy.
Yeah, you did, because, like, you know, obviously, I don't know, man. Oh, boy.
Maybe a birthday, a wedding, something of that nature?
Yeah, it would probably be a wedding I don't want to go to, because there tends to be some weddings. Putting a longer story into kind of a shorter form, there are a lot of weddings sometimes. In the fam, if anyone who is brown and who knows Asian people, or you know, Indians and other Sri Lankans, because my wife is Sri Lankan, you know that there's a lot of weddings, and sometimes, I mean, they're not always the most fun things. They can be, right? If you do it right. And I'd like to believe that my wedding was really fun for everyone who attended, but sometimes they don't really hit at all. And it's a lot of sitting around. Obviously, there's some decent food, and that's cool. And that's probably like the bare minimum that you're asking for when you're attending a wedding. Just have decent food, right? And also right. Some alcohol is obviously very beneficial. but it would be something like that, and it actually wouldn't take much for me to skip those events. It wouldn't take much. I would just need the excuse. And if it's something that I can sell my better half about, then I'm all in, because I wouldn't mind missing some of those events, because they're not fun. They take away from my weekends, and I value my weekends a lot, Chris. A lot.
I hear you, man. I'm starting a full-time job soon. Saturday and Sunday are going to be like my days of grace. They're going to be the Congrats. Days where I go out and... Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'm actually... My job is going to be in Peterborough, of all places, so...
What?
Yeah, really? Man. Peterborough,
yes, sir.
I didn't
know that. You didn't... You left that detail out when you said it. You left it... You kept it for the podcast to get this genuine reaction from me, knowing that you're going to be heading to the P-Dot, if you will.
The P-Dot? Is that what they call it there?
It has a few different names. It's Petey. There's the Pete Patch. That's another one. You can use Pete Patch if you want. People will think you're a local if you use Pete Patch.
Oh, I'm never calling it any of those things, Amit. Those are horrible names. I mean, I thought P-Dot was the low point, but then you just kept going and brought out the nicknames. But yes, I am. My job is in Peterborough, just off of Lansdowne there, and I'm very much excited. It's a customer service position, so I'll be talking with a lot of people like I'm talking with you right now. Maybe not as formally as this, but I'm looking forward to the new challenge in life.
Yo, and you got a Costco nearby too, because if you're close to Lansdowne, then you're going to be close to the Costco, and that's a great deal, right? You do your work shift, you go to Costco, you get your groceries, and you head back home. It's kind of a very fluid process that I think would be very beneficial to you. And also, do take in some of those local spots on that Lansdowne strip. There's obviously a lot of brand names of Wendy's, McDonald's, A&W. It's like, if anyone who doesn't know Peterborough, like, there's two major streets in Peterborough. There's George Street, and then there's Lansdowne. Lansdowne covers a lot of ground. Like, anything, it's close to the highway, so anyone who wants to come in, grab a bite, then ship out, like, you can do that on Lansdowne. But do take in a few of those local spots. There's a few burrito places. There's a pizza shop that I really like. So take the time to take in some of those local ones.
I'm a big Arby's guy now. I used to crap all over Arby's back in the day, but my fiance got me on it. I'm a big roast beef fan now. I go there and I get this roasted pepper sandwich every time we make the trip to Arby's. They actually forgot to give me my drink once, and then they gave me a free meal for that. So shout out to the management team at Arby's for rectifying that injustice. I didn't get my Coke Zero, but I got a free $10 coupon.
We know damn well that it was not going to damage your relationship with Arby's.
Oh, it was. I was always going to go back, but you know what? I'll take a free meal. That's what I'm all about.
Hell yeah. I guess we know where I can get it. I Uber Eats. I know how valuable it is when you go past like the actual drop dead time that the delivery is supposed to come. And then afterwards, if you complain, they are supposed to give you a free meal.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A no for anyone who hasn't looked at the fine print. My wife, she's very good at looking at fine prints and finding those kind of things, because she hates the man. She likes to find ways to kind of get her buck back, and that is something that I'm not sure everyone knows, that when it comes to the drop dead time on Uber Eats delivery orders, if they go past it, they're supposed to give you a free meal, or they usually will if you complain. So take that might be the most valuable information you get from this podcast, actually.
Well, this is just the absolute perfect segue for this next question, because you and I are recording this on July 4th, Independence Day in the United States. Amit, is competitive hot dog eating, like the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, a sport?
I think anything that requires you to eat something and put your body and your well-being on the line, and if you're able to do something at a high level, much better than other people, I'll consider it a sport. But keep in mind, like, nowadays, I mean, like 10 years ago, I probably would have said no. But what is a sport now? Like, people are so creative, and all these crazy ass things are coming out nowadays. I'll just say yes to anything, essentially. I've never actually, taken in a hot dog eating contest. You know, I know there was a Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut. There was a big rivalry a couple years ago. And
yes.
They're going back and forth. They got heated, actually, at times. So that was kind of during my heyday of, I suppose, being invested into hot dog eating. But otherwise, I kind of just like take in those 20-second clips on social, and that's pretty much it. But for those people who do, you know, take in that kind of stuff and are participating in it, absolutely do so. And you are an athlete, and you are someone that people should admire.
My fiance was watching that this afternoon, and she was just dying of laughter at how seriously the commentators on ESPN were handling the whole situation. They were dropping statistics. They were building it up as this massive event. You know, Joey Chestnut obviously breaking his record earlier today with 76 hot dogs. I eat two, and I'm feeling sick to my stomach.
Joey Chestnut, well done, man. Well done.
Good for you, sir.
You want to talk like elite athletes, okay? Like sustained dominance in a sport, how can you not include Joey Chestnut? He's been doing it. He's seen it all. You want to talk like players and people that don't get enough appreciation, who have just been doing it at a high level for a long time, just like Chris Paul, Joey Chestnut is in that category. What Hall of Fame does he need to get into? I don't know what Hall of Fame exists for him, but he should be in there, and I hope he does get his day.
Well, he's the Chris Paul of hot dog eating, and this is the Chris Paul of final questions, my friend, because recently you tweeted out that Chris Paul finishing his career converting non-playoff teams into contenders would be super badass on his
Wouldn't
part.
Wouldn't it be?
Well, here we go. I mean, quickly here, what's one team that didn't qualify for the playoffs this year that you think would have had the best chance of becoming maybe a top two or three seed and an instant threat to reach the conference finals had they had Chris Paul on their roster? And don't say the Raptors, because we already have our old point guard on the team.
Okay, that's a fun question. I'm going to say the Timberwolves at a quick glance. No, actually, I can't even say that. Jeez, the Pelicans. What am I saying? It's the Pelicans. I had Timberwolves in my head because I was doing some like mild research on their how they fared in like the latter part of the season, because they played well and Anthony Edwards was finding his groove and he was playing really well. Cat is Cat, and so they came to mind. But really, it's the Pelicans, because there is so much talent there. Obviously, something happened between them and Stan Van Gundy. I don't know what exactly happened. Stan said, you know, we just have a philosophical differences, which usually means we just didn't jive very well. And I'm not sure how stuff like that doesn't come about in the interview process. That's always been a bit confusing to me. What kind of questions are you asking them, though, if you're not asking them about their philosophy, you know?
Right.
Do you like apples? Yes, we like apples. Great, we agree on something. But if a person says oranges and you're saying apples, then obviously you disagree. It's kind of like that black and white to me. I don't know, maybe it's a little bit too simple, but maybe they don't have very good interviewers. Maybe they should be letting you do it, potentially. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
The Pelicans come to mind. I think they could have used his veteran leadership, his poise with the ball, his defense, his attention to detail, because there's a ton of talent on that team. You wouldn't think, like, that should be a playoff team. Teams that made the playoffs, you know, the Mavericks, the Trailblazers, no, those are good teams too, but there's no reason why the Pelicans can't be in that category as well. They have literally everything. They have a good core of talent. They didn't play defense. They had a small stretch where they did, and that was cool. That showed us that you can do it, but they didn't continue it. And so consistency is a huge part of being a good NBA team, and that's why I love the Suns, right? Is that they're consistent day in, day out. You know what you're going to get from them. The offense might waver sometimes, but that happens in the playoffs. The Pelicans really could have benefited from Chris Paul, no question about it. And you know what? If he decides to go somewhere, I think he should go to the Pelicans, because I think he really should devote his career to being this person who just elevates teams that were not in the playoffs. And he, you know, $25 million a year, he just signs a whole bunch of one-year deals. And he just like, let's look at this roster. Let's look at this player, look at that player. It's like, I can work with this. And he signs a one-year deal. Please do it, Chris Paul, after you win your championship this year.
Well, we've mentioned Chris Paul's name to death on this podcast, but Amit, my friend.
Chris Paul. Chris Paul, Chris Paul, Chris Paul, Chris Paul, Chris Paul. We need more.
Well, I can safely say that you are the Chris Paul of this podcast anyway, because you did elevate it to an entirely new level, my friend. I appreciate you for joining me once again on the Walder Sportscast. But before we sign off, remind the listeners where they can find you and your work on the web.
Yeah, man. So it's Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm doing some, at the moment, I mean, as we know, the Olympics are coming up. the men's basketball team will not be there. So I've been doing a lot of interviews, actually, with some of the summer athletes. Andre DeGrasse comes to mind, Alicia Newman. She's a pole vaulter, Ellie Black, and there's a few more coming up. So that's been kind of my day-to-day over the past 2-3 weeks. And then afterwards, obviously, you got to edit all the videos. So that's another part of the process. So I guess if you're looking for some Olympic coverage going forward, like, we could probably help you out with that. I'll be doing some daily coverage within our unit. And then obviously you can find me on Twitter at @Amit_man. I will be doing some reaction podcasts to some of the finals games. I haven't exactly figured out where that's going to happen and when it's going to happen. I hate that games start at 9. It kind of makes things really late, you know, Chris?
Like, oh, yeah.
Really late. When it comes to, like, you know, you got to do a podcast afterwards, then you got to edit it because you're not going to do it in the morning. Because then it's just, yeah, it's creates a whole hustle and bustle. Anyways, we'll be doing some podcasts. I guess I've done my preview already with Chris, so maybe I'll just record into make a podcast right after this and just post it, I suppose. And yeah, that's kind of the deal. And just appreciate Chris having me on. Keep listening to the Walter Sportscast. I'm extremely happy for him that, you know, he was able to work with the Basketball Podcast Network and or the Basketball Network.
Basketball, right? Podcast Network.
Yes, I had it the first time. The Basketball Podcast Network. I'm happy that they found each other, and Chris has been one of the better people that I've met over the pandemic. Actually, I hope one day we get to see each other face to face. One day.
You're too kind, my friend. Seriously, all the best to you and the podcast. And I was happy to be on your podcast, and I'm honored that you would come back on mine.
It might not be the last time you're on mine, to be honest with you. Stand by.
Hell yeah! Spoiler alert. Thanks again, my friend.
No problem, man.
And that was my interview with Amit Man. Go follow him on Twitter at Amit Man. That's man with two N's. One of my favorite people to chat with. Like he alluded to, this pandemic has allowed for guys like the two of us to connect and work together. And I'm very much grateful for that. Amit knows his basketball and he sounds like a million bucks when discussing it. So, and he's also got ties to Peterborough, which was very cool. He appreciates the small town vibes like we've got out here in Lindsay, which is only a half an hour drive away, so that was awesome to learn about him. This has been episode 46 of the Walder Sportscast. Go ahead and leave a rating and review to help out the show, and find all of our past episodes at Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Podbean, and Amazon. And be sure to use promo code Walder at manscaped.com to save 20% on your next purchase with free worldwide shipping. That's 20% off and free worldwide shipping at manscaped.com. I start my new job next week. I hope to have another show up at this same time next Monday, so bear with me. A lot of moving parts in my life, but I'm in this for the long haul. For now, though, that's another one in the books. So as always, I'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Walder Sportscast. Hit that subscribe button on iTunes and follow Chris on both Twitter and Instagram @WalderSports.